Hello, everyone. Hello, it's George from Ireland. So some good news was issued today. The arrest warrants were issued yesterday, but the announcement only made today that the International Criminal Court in The Hague, the Netherlands, has issued arrest warrants for Valery Gerasimov and Sergei Shoigu. So respectively, are they the chief of the Russian General Staff and the erstwhile defense minister? Shoigu held that office for 12 years. Gerasimov has been on post for a similar length of time. So they were in their positions when the Ukrainian war began. And now, no army's conduct is perfect, but the Russian army's conduct is among the worst. I know there are those who say that war is war, but there are limitations. No, a soldier in wartime is not entitled to kill absolutely anyone. And if people are captured, they're to be treated humanely. No, you do not have to give your prisoner of war a hug and put him up in a five-star hotel, but you do have to feed him as much as you can, provide medical care where possible, try to avoid the person being exposed to excessive heat or cold, and so on. Refrain from torturing that person, refrain from killing that person unless he tries to escape and won't stop, unless he tries to attack the soldiers guarding him and stuff like that. And yes, they are allowed to kill enemy combatants, but they must have tried to avoid killing civilians. I say try to avoid killing civilians. They cannot always avoid killing civilians. If there's a building which they know there are 10 enemy soldiers and one civilian, is it ethically acceptable? Is it lawful to blow up that building? Most would say that it is. But what if there were 10 civilians and only one soldier? Would it be acceptable to blow up that building? Surely not. And so on. So, the various accusations here about inhumane acts. It says that they willfully attacked civilian buildings. They caused excessive incidental harm to civilians. So incidental, even if your objective is a military target, if incidental to that, you kill some civilians, that could be undue, just in the example I gave. To kill one soldier, you kill 10 civilians. Even though that's incidental harm, that's too much. There must be some proportionality. You must have regard to the consequences. Collateral damage, that's to say, there's a military objective here you're going to blow up, but beside it is a civilian building, and you know the blast is going to hit the civilian building. So are you allowed to do that? It depends. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But a complete disregard for civilian life, deliberately attacking hospitals and clinics on hundreds of occasions, deliberately targeting schools, even places where civilians were sheltering, a theater marked children, buses marked children. And I see it from the Russian perspective, say, yes, but the Ukrainian army, if they're transporting troops, will put children on it to try and dissuade us from attacking it. I don't know that the Ukrainian army ever did that, but that might be the accusation, and so on. The torture of prisoners of war, as has been documented by Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, and so on. Hundreds of Ukrainian soldiers have been released in prisoner of war exchanges, and almost all of them detail torture, as in beatings, electric shocks, putting in stress positions, stuff like that. Now, they could be lying, but I think it's rather unlikely. I'm afraid to say the Russian army has previous on this. This was absolutely standard procedure against their own citizens in Chechnya and elsewhere. So we know that there's no accountability when it comes to crimes against enemy combatants or civilians in Russia. There's total impunity. The Russian soldiers virtually never face discipline for this kind of thing. These Russian journalists are murdered for telling the truth. Gallant people like Anna Politkovskaya, who paid with her life for doing what a journalist should, for telling the plain truth without fear, without favor, whether it reflects well, whether it reflects badly on the Russian army, on Chechen rebels, she will tell the truth, and so on. So what else? So inhumane acts. There are hundreds of allegations of rape in Ukraine by Russian soldiers. And I'm not suggesting that all Russian soldiers do this, or even most of them, but it's a significant minority. And probably no army is entirely innocent of this. They're bad men in every country. Therefore, there must be a few bad men in every army. But as I'm sorry to say, I think the Russian army is egregiously bad on this kind of thing. They used to have hazing of conscript Dedovshina, which is Russia roughly rule of the grandfathers. Severe bullying, severe beating up. so much that it killed dozens of them each year, other than driven to suicide. They were so zombified, so brutalized, unsurprising they took it out on completely innocent people in Chechnya and elsewhere. So, all right, Gerasimov or Shoigu didn't actually order their soldiers to rape these women, so far as I know. But the point is, doing absolutely nothing about it when it happens. There's command responsibility. Because there's iron discipline in the Russian army, you can be extremely cruelly punished for the tiniest infraction if they think it goes against discipline. So they certainly can punish people too harshly often. But when it comes to crimes like that, crimes against women, then they don't seem to care about that at all, or torture, or deliberately killing its civilians like Bucha and elsewhere. And even if Gerasimov and Shoigu, as I say, didn't order people to do this, they did nothing about it afterwards. Investigate, courts martial, and investigations don't always turn up probative evidence. Courts martial cannot always be guaranteed to return guilty verdicts, and they shouldn't be guaranteed to return guilty verdicts, but making not the slightest attempt to ensure that there's humane treatment of enemy civilians, of prisoners of war, and so on. And I'm not suggesting that the Ukrainian society is entirely innocent, but it seems to me there are far fewer allegations, far fewer serious allegations against Ukrainians. I'm not so naive as to think that one side is utterly evil and the other side is utterly good in its conduct. Even though the Ukraine's cause is righteous, that wouldn't necessarily mean that its troops' conduct is always righteous. And even though Russia's cause is totally unrighteous, that doesn't automatically mean that every Russian soldier is bad, although they always misconduct themselves. So we go on. So the ICC judges, they said there are reasonable grounds to believe that the two suspects bear responsibility for missile strikes carried out by the Russian armed forces against Ukrainian electric infrastructure from at least 10th of October 2022 until at least the 9th of March 2023. And the court noted that these airstrikes were directed against civilian objectives. Even when they were directed against military objectives, the court said these would have been clearly excessive to the anticipated military advantage. So destroying the electric infrastructure to deprive hospitals and housing of heating in winter when it's minus 20 to freeze people to death, but particularly to kill children, elderly people, to deprive people of, say, a life support system in the intensive care unit, and on and on and on. Extreme cruelty again and again and again by Putin's Nazi regime, outright sadism. Now, the National Security Council, which Shoigu now heads, says that this is an irrelevance. And now Russia has not ratified the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. But 124 countries have. And there's an awful lot of countries that Gerasimov and Shoigu can't go to, because they would like every country to ratify it. No military's behavior is perfect. The Irish army, we hardly ever fought outside Ireland, you know, just United Nations operations. The British army has fought abroad a lot. Sometimes conduct's been good, and there's sometimes when it's been bad. And some of them prosecuted, jailed, and so on, should be held to account. Sometimes been too lax on that. There are crimes, there are massacres, there are murders, there are tortures that were committed by British troops. I don't dispute that. So this is not sort of point scoring, and there must be non-selectivity about this. And the United States shamefully is not signed up to it. So unfortunately, these guys may well never see justice, but there's at least a step in that direction. If there is regime change, they might have to be surrendered to the ICC to face trial, and a bit of a deterrent to others that you won't get away with this. And I hope they won't get away with it. But we live in such an unjust world. There's so much cruelty. There have been laws of war for a long time. You can look back to Grotius' De Iuris Bello at Akpakis, or indeed the Geneva Convention, the Hague Convention. And actually, Russia signed a lot of these. And the Russian Empire is obviously a predecessor state of the current Russian Federation. The Geneva Convention, partly drawn up by the Soviet Union, signed into law by them. Russian being one of the authoritative languages of the Geneva Convention, and so on. And various crimes in international law. It was Trenin, the Soviet jurist, came up with some of these. So they absolutely are bound by this. Right. Thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.